Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The war in Afghanistan, America's longest war, is at a stalemate. That's what Army General John Nicholson, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, told the Senate Armed Services Committee last week. General Nicholson said thousands of additional troops will be needed to break the stalemate.
Our number one goal is to protect the homeland from any attack emanating from the region. And of course, we have achieved that in the last 15 years. However, we need to stay on top of it because of this confluence of 20 terrorist groups in the region. I believe this is an enduring commitment to keep pressure on these groups and help the Afghans move towards a successful end state.
Michael Kugelman is Deputy Director and Senior Associate for South Asia at the Wilson Center. His recent op-ed about Afghanistan appeared in the National Interest magazine. It's headlined, "The Threat America is Neglecting in Afghanistan." Michael, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, so Michael, as you write in your op-ed, President Trump has said very little about Afghanistan, but of course General Nicholson had plenty to say. What struck you about his testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee?
Well, I was struck about how explicit he was about the need for more troops. He was very clear that there have been some successes, there's been progress in terms of the Afghan security forces. But he said again and again that, you know, we're going to need thousands of more U.S. troops to be in that country to try to help. And of course, it's not necessarily the most politically popular thing to say in the United States, where there's been a fair amount of war weariness for quite a few years.
I mean, that's putting it mildly. I would say after 16 years, it's exactly the news that nobody wants to hear.
Right. Though, you know, unfortunately, I think we do need to hear it. I always am a bit conflicted. On the one hand, an analyst of South Asia and of Afghanistan. But again, as a as an American citizen, from the perspective of an analyst, things are really in bad shape in Afghanistan. I mean, as General Nicholson had said, you know, you've got a number of terrorist groups there that are causing all kinds of damage. The Afghan security forces need a lot of help. You know, you have that on the one hand. You have a resurgent al-Qaeda. You have a local faction of ISIS that should not be taken lightly. So you have all that, and that suggests a need to have more U.S. support, if nothing else, to provide a psychological boost to the Afghan forces. But on the other hand, as a U.S. citizen, I mean, I myself am very concerned about, after all these years, after all the U.S. troops that have died, we still don't really know why U.S. troops are in Afghanistan and, in some cases, dying in Afghanistan. It costs a lot of money to maintain U.S. troops in that country. You know, you hear that at one point it would cost about $1 million per year to have one U.S. troop in Afghanistan. So a lot of it, there's a conflict between, you know, being an analyst on the one hand and then being a U.S. citizen. It's really hard to square that circle.
So let's dig into this a little deeper here, because there's a lot in what you just said. So first of all, in that tape that we heard, General Nicholson says there's a confluence of 20 terrorist groups in the region. Why is it, after, you know, 16 years of U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan, that has been able to happen? Why have they been able to find sanctuary there?
Well, I'm glad that he made that point, simply because there's been a narrative in Washington over the last few years that al-Qaeda has essentially been decimated in the Afghanistan and Pakistan region, and that the attention is really turned to other parts of the world. But the bottom line is, it's a very rough neighborhood, not just Afghanistan, but the broader region. In Pakistan, you have sanctuaries for a number of terrorist groups like the Haqqani Network and the Afghan Taliban. Al-Qaeda has never gone away. And you have a lot of other militant organizations in Pakistan and Afghanistan, also in Central Asia. They're all cut from the same cloth. They're all Islamist militant groups. They don't all necessarily want to target the same people or places, but they all have differing levels of collaboration, and in many cases are loyal to al-Qaeda. That's the bottom line.
Now, how different is this than, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Clearly, things have gotten worse in terms of the number of attacks and the potency of different terrorist groups. Obviously, it was a very different situation in the 1980s and the 1990s, where in Afghanistan you had a variety of groups that were fighting, that had been fighting against the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. After the Soviets left and after the Americans stopped being involved in the region, things got very complicated. There was a long and horrifically bloody civil war that culminated in as you know, the Taliban
right.
Holding power for a number of years. And then, of course, you got to a point where a few years later, the United States entered and really did achieve its major objective right from the start, which was essentially to remove the Al-Qaeda sanctuaries. Al-Qaeda had been very happily hosted by the Taliban. But I think it's as the years went by, it was just easier for a number of different terror groups to exploit the very troubled security environment mm-hmm. in this country.
Well, I mean, so is part of that because of the fact that the United States strategy largely involved training Afghan security forces, and you know, clearly they're not fully ready to take full control of that mission. I mean, General Nicholson said explicitly that the U.S. has an enduring commitment, in his words, to keep pressure on the groups and to help, continue to help the Afghans move towards a successful end state. Why is it that the Afghan military, after all these years, still can't do that on its own?
Well, it's a question that's very hard to answer. Of course, we're starting from a very low base here, that you know, the notion of central security and national security institutions in Afghanistan is somewhat new. The fact that you have you know, a national army, national police force, you know, these really weren't around for the most part in previous years. So it takes a very long time to get to a point where these institutions become truly self-sufficient. But I think the fact of the matter is the enemy and the challenges that the Afghan security forces face are so formidable that it's really difficult and really unfair to expect these fledgling troops and police forces in Afghanistan to be able to essentially ease, if not end, the insurgency altogether anytime soon. And there are also external factors at play here as well. I mean, the fact of the matter is you have sanctuaries in Pakistan for the chief combatants of the insurgency in Afghanistan. The bottom line at the end of the day is that you do have these external factors as well that complicate the effort to stabilize the country.
So Michael Kugelman, let me ask you honestly, given everything you just said, how long will the United States, how long will NATO, should they be involved in Afghanistan? I mean, as we talked about earlier, the appetite is not necessarily there, but the situation you're describing makes me think that, you know, there's every chance that the United States should remain involved in the region for decades.
You know, when people in Washington, in the analytical community, and those that are really paying attention to this war, when they start talking about time frames, I'm not talking about official Washington, I'm talking about those outside of the government, when we talk about how long it could take, the parallel that tends to come up is the Colombia insurgency and the fact that that took decades.
It took a half century.
It took a half a century to resolve. So unfortunately, if that analogy ends up being true, then you may have to think about a 50-year period. And I just don't see that at all politically palatable in this country. Quite frankly, my own view is that it would be wise to send in to send in several thousand more troops, not to fight a war, but to supplement the advising and the training. But I think that there needs to be some very clear-cut objectives put out there by the Trump administration to suggest what needs to be done. I'm not saying there need to be time frames put out there, but there needs to be clear-cut objective put out there by the U.S. government as to, you know, what the troops in Afghanistan should be doing. And that way it'll be easier to measure after a certain amount of time. If things aren't being done according to how they're supposed to be done per the objectives that are set, it may be easier to think about next steps. But you know, at the end of the day, what General Nicholson said about trying to protect the U.S. homeland from what could be done in Afghanistan, you know, it may be a bit of an exaggeration there, but it is very true that if the U.S. simply turns its back on Afghanistan, you could have conditions set into place where the security situation in Afghanistan deteriorates significantly enough that you could have more and more sanctuaries carved out in Afghanistan in which the Taliban can once again invite Al-Qaeda forces in there to start trying to plan an attack in the United States. Once again, I don't want to be a doomsayer, but we should not rule out that possibility. And that in of itself, in my view, justifies the need for a continued, though not necessarily permanent, U.S. commitment to Afghanistan.
Well, Michael Kugelman is Deputy Director and Senior Associate for South Asia at the Wilson Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.